based feeds are available, of course, including our beloved Archers. Now, you may think that I need to get out more, and I suspect Jake Yap holds that view, as he's about to argue that we should delete all our social media accounts and throw the laptop out of the window. Stand by for Jake Yap's Media Circus. First, what's going on here?
Radio Lab on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
The diaries are line by line a succession of astonished awakenings.
Weaving stories and science in sound.
When the music stops, he falls out of time.
Out of time, out of memory, out of himself, there's two things left. There's love and there's the joy of music.
The acclaimed American podcast hosted by Robert Krulwich and Jad Abumrad.
We want more.
More interactions, more human friction.
More!
More choices.
A better life.
Radio Lab, Sunday mornings at 11 and again in the evening at 7 on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Meanwhile on Radio 4, on a keyboard somewhere in W1A.
Jake Yap is feeling nervous. No, sick. Excited. Typing this backstage at the world-famous BBC Radio Theatre. No biggie. No, too braggy. I'll just post a picture of my cat.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Media Circus! Welcome to the circus, a look at the three-ring, multi-platform, cross-promoted, content-rich, 360-degree cluster mess of the media we consume. Hello, I'm Jake Yap, and tonight we're looking at social media. I owe social media a lot. If I hadn't had my online clip where I did Radio 4 in 4 minutes, shared so much on social media, I would have quietly rotted away somewhere instead of liquefying here in front of you this evening. But I'm not here as an evangelist for the online utopia of social media. In fact, directly I'll be explaining why you should delete all your social media accounts and set your laptop on fire. But first, since I'm best known for doing things in a couple of minutes or so, personal grooming, eulogies, circumcisions. Here's an example of one of my two-minute recaps, MasterChef. And here to help with it, please welcome the brilliant George Fouracres and Emily Lloyd-Saney.
MasterChef, the ultimate test for aspiring blokey chefs and the ultimate test for the little old ladies who like watching their nice cookery programs but have to endure the incongruous sexy voiceover and techno music. Time now to meet the presenters of the show.
I'm Greg Wallace. I think I look sharp and intelligent, and even though no one has ever seen me do so much as microwave a hot dog, I am a judge. Enduring condescending nonsense doesn't get tougher than this.
And I'm John Turode, and I just got out of bed. I say bed, I look like I've been sleeping in a skip.
Right, choose your ingredients. There's Pollock, Sprouts, crisps and Fanta, and let's play Ready, Steady, Cook. Hang on a minute, is this MasterChef or Junior MasterChef or MasterChef the Professionals or Celebrity MasterChef or Blindfold MasterChef or MasterChef on Ice? Because maybe we can hear from that frightening woman we've trained up to be a complete bastard, like some sort of Fam Nikita of cookery.
Your prawns were overcooked, the vegetables were dry.
Yeah, I think I'll paraphrase what she said. Oh, those prawns, you cook them so much. And that dryness of the vegetables. Funny how I never go first when there are actual chefs here, almost as if I was scared of being caught out.
Julie has served a plate of food coming in at a level far beyond Barrow Boy Greg Wallace's culinary experience.
Balsamic vinegar with strawberries. What's next? Gammon and pineapple.
I did like the tagine, though, Greg.
The tagine had fruit in it. Fruit! Oh!
Stuart has served a failed chicken mousse with burnt onions and a pickled egg and is crying softly. John tastes it first with his trademark hasty fork technique.
I like how you've cooked the bird.
Back to me, yeah, I like the bird as well. Calling it a bird makes it sound so much more industry. Time for me to say, that is a very, very clever dish, which is my way of attempting to somehow condescend upwards. Crispy, creamy, salty, fudgy, crumbly, chewy, tangy, fishy, minty, happy, grumpy, dozy, beaky, nutty, sucky. I'd order that in a garage. I'm in a restaurant.
Let's talk to each other really loudly and pretend it isn't screamingly obvious who we're sending home.
Even though Ian did set the studio on fire and served up a plate of duck excrement on a bed of sick, he has got something.
But is he enough of a bloke to take it to the next level?
Let's find out.
And the winner of the Great British Bloke Off is TikTok, 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 Doug.
Well done, fella. I love a pud. Let's do the bird. Back to me dressing room. Fernando's. Anyway, that's a major digression from the world of social media, unless you accept that Greg Wallace's face closely resembles the base template for an emoji.
Yeah, but would you poke him?
Many would, I believe. Remember that? The Facebook poke button? Ah, the kids, they won't remember that. That's right, Sonny, in the old days, we didn't just go jumping in with Insta-bang this and willy picture that. We used to have a little poke. It's romantic. It's how me and your mother met. Nowadays, people set a lot of store by social media, and to that end, here on the Media Circus, here's a BuzzFeed-style clickbait list, or, in the modern parlance, listicle, of 5 reasons you should delete your social media account right now. Here are the platforms we'll be discussing today. Well, we all know Facebook. It's the one that allows you to stay in touch with people you don't like enough to meet up with in real life.
And then there's Twitter, the one for jokes or racism, depending on which one you're into.
And then there's Instagram, owned by Facebook, but just pictures. Pictures of your gorgeous holidays, your gorgeous food, and you looking gorgeous after you've painstakingly photoshopped every single hair out of your ears, then emailed the edited image to yourself, downloaded it to your phone, and then re-uploaded it to Instagram because the platform only supports uploads from mobile devices. Instagram, it's so instant. What about Snapchat? You send pictures and videos to friends and they disappear within 10 seconds, almost exclusively used by perverts. Plus, it's a good business model as Snapchat doesn't have to store all that footage Facebook does of school concerts. I don't know, who'd have thought in 2018 we'd be sitting about on sofas sharing videos of ourselves as animated half dogs with lolloping tongues? H.G. Wells and George Orwell seriously overestimated humanity, didn't they?
And then there's LinkedIn, the boring one for so-called professionals. If other social media platforms are the equivalent of juicy gossip magazines of your friends' lives, LinkedIn is like the Staples catalogue.
And finally, there's Arvival, which creates vinyl LPs depending on your interests, heart rate, and the last thing you Googled, and sends them to you every month along with matching beard oils. That one's made up, but we're probably not too far off. Okay, here we go. Let's log on. At 5, then, in our top 5 reasons why you should delete your social media account now, it's the post-apocalypse. Here's a handy breakdown of the different kinds of tedious post people put on social media. Virtue signalling.
Just gave £20 to a homeless man who told me the best story.
Viral content with a bigoted undertone.
Who remembers the good old days when kids played in the street and tablets were a thing you took for headaches and bring back caning?
Humble brags.
I am such a nerd. I just read 3 books.
Deliberately blasé statement of, so this happened.
With a picture of a new baby.
With a picture of an engagement ring.
With a picture of you ratifying a Brexit deal that satisfied all parties.
Let me Google that for you.
Does anyone know what time the tip closes?
I've been hacked.
Genuine Ray-Ban sunglasses, 90% off, it madness.
My special condition.
I have ADD, attention deficit disorder. Guys, what that means is I need a lot of attention and I need it from you right now. So please like, share and comment.
There's really nothing funny about ADD.
Emily, you don't have to tell me. I suffer from ADWWY.
What's that?
It's attention deficit. Where was I? Reasons why you should quit social media, number 4. The Great Divide. The echo chamber effect is where everybody is in a bubble of shared values and assumes that's what's happening in the rest of the world. But on social media, in reality, it's the mutual incomprehension that's the worst. On Facebook, you have several generations divided by a common platform. For example, posts by old people read like dispatches sent from the front line in Morse. As if the writer was urgently trying to convey the most vital information in the shortest number of characters possible. Probably because it takes a long time to type one-fingered, and also because, well, you don't want to waste time and it's getting precious.
Visited RHS Wisley yesterday. Very good. Smoked salmon sandwiches. Marjorie reports toilets outstanding. Recommended.
Posts by younger people, though, are literally in another language, e.g.
Oh, gosh, sick burn, bruv. Why be hating on my status?
Or...
Yo, why do girls text laughter as SKSKSK? Like, are you a snake, bruv? Laugh properly, SMH.
Or...
I'll never be able to afford my own home.
No idea. Gibberish. For me, though, as a middle-aged, middle-class, white, liberal male, I see my responsibility on social media as being to pontificate pompously on whatever I have decided is the agenda of the day. I also freely comment on other middle-class, middle-aged, white, liberal males' pompous pontifications with comments such as...
Glad you got a hybrid, Sarah Humby, but did you check that the upholstery is vegan?
I see your point, Danny Bottomley, but we have to remember that Palestine was once part of France.
For a while, it seemed like we were all going to hang out on the same platform. But when the baby boomers started using Facebook, I'd say around like 2011, 2012, that's when it all changed. Older people just couldn't be happy cutting things out of the newspapers anymore, could they? And that's why the youth has flocked away from the platform, like teenagers sloping off from a perfectly nice Butlins disco to go and hang out in the bus shelter. Best days of your life, aren't they?
Don't worry, okay? The young'uns will be back on Facebook eventually, just like they'll be back to watching Disney films, going to garden centres and acknowledging they have an older brother, Edward.
After extensive research, I can confirm that the kids use Snapchat now, or... They did, when one of the Kardashian clan, I think it was Krispy Kreme, announced she no longer used the platform, their stock plummeted. So now it's less pertinent to the youth. Maybe we'll see the baby boomers heading over there now, too. There can't be many more worrying notifications than...
Uncle Keith has added you on Snapchat.
Come on, we're wasting time. At three, in our listicle of why you should delete your social media account right now... Humanity's final language, emojis. What is an emoji? It's one of those annoying things people use instead of actual writing in a text message. Impossible to say out loud. Look, I appreciate the closest your average Radio 4 listener comes to exchanging emojis with someone is when they use a coin that's heads up to buy a loaf of sourdough. Emojis serve as a pictographic language, which reflects the earliest ever proto-writing languages that date back to 6 or 7,000 years BC, arguably proving that we are now devolving as a species. We move seamlessly to Egyptian hieroglyphics, made famous, of course, by Victoria Coren Mitchell in Only Connect.
And welcome to Only Connect. Our teams this week are the coprophiliacs...
I've never spoken to a woman before. Hello.
...and laboured contrivance.
I have egg on my shirt. Hello.
And let's start with round one. Choose one of our Egyptian hieroglyphs, which we have for no reason.
Trodden on frog, please.
Trodden on frog. Right. What follows this one thing? Shoes Monday.
Hat Friday?
No, this one was a bit tricky. Shoes is a five-letter word, so any five-letter word would have done. And Monday was, of course, the name of the Norwegian film from the year 2000 by Japanese director Sabu. So you could have had any of his other films, Postman Blues, Bunny Drop, or Unlucky Monkey. Unlucky you.
I told you.
Right, it's the Only Connect final, so you can unscramble the grid. Let's go.
Apples, dogs, soldiers, curry. Curry, waltzes, massage, car battery. Soldiers, massage, walnuts, dogs. Waltzes, walnuts, car battery, JK Rowling. Apples, curry, West Ham, bifocals. Car battery, bifocals, curry, skidoo. Sinita, massage, parsnip, shuttlecock.
Oh, bad luck. The only thing you thought you'd be good at, and it turns out you're absolutely worthless. Goodbye.
Now that we've covered 8,000 or 9,000 years of pictorial language, let's move on to emojis. And the first emoji came out in 1993, and it was based on a symbol that's been in use for 2,500 years with romantic connotations for the last millennium.
The prawn.
The love heart.
Oh.
Being able to send something that wasn't text, people forget what a massive leap that was back then. When the emoji of a train first came in, people ran screaming from their phones. Thought they were going to get mowed down. But, you know, for all that they purport to replicate face-to-face human interaction, they seem a bit exaggerated. Take the crying with laughter face. It's the most used emoji on social media. A face, tears streaming, crying with laughter. I can't remember the last time I did that, but with emojis and the way people use them, you'd think moments like that happened every 7 or 8 seconds.
It's raining again.
Yep, reckon we've had the summer.
It seems we must preserve the illusion that we're all almost constantly staggering around our faces a besnotted mass of tear-soaked, helpless laughter. Also, speaking of exaggeration, I'm not entirely comfortable with the aubergine emoji.
Why?
Just trust me, it's not... doing research for this show, I have seen things I cannot unsee. Let's change the subject. Reasons why you should quit social media number 2. If you can't post anything nice, social media etiquette. Just like with public urinals or hummus at a party, there are protocols involved with what you should and shouldn't do online. For example, it is not okay to ask people to join you in some sort of rotten, free, not free online game just because if you recruit new people, it wins you an extra go.
Jake wants to play Farmville with you.
George wants to play Unicorn Abduction Quest with you.
Emily wants to play Family Crispy Cocklenuts Wolf Maze with you.
Also, don't coerce people to repost or share your posts with emotionally blackmailing phrases like...
Let's see if anyone cares enough to repost this story about ospreys.
90% of people won't repost this story about having worms.
Or the ridiculous world of digital hocus-pocus and superstition.
You must post this message within the next 24 hours or you will have bad luck!
The web was invented in 1990. That is way too recent for an ancient curse. Big businesses, too, have rather rudely, I think, tried to muscle in on the act from preposterous clickbait article titles.
Piers Morgan erupted this morning.
Hopefully with actual lava. To the really quite laughable idea of setting out as a company to make a viral. They regularly talk about...
creating a viral campaign, guys.
When in truth, nobody knows what campaign is going to go viral. And in truer truth, it's very unlikely to be some cooked-up piece of marketing tat produced on the cheap. A viral campaign seems to be shorthand for...
an advert made on a tenth of the budget, but twice as long and with one extra joke.
Social media platforms, like capitalism, depend in a rather short-sighted way on constant expansion and growth. They're constantly seeking to recruit more people into reading more pages of their banal nonsense. Social media is genuinely addictive. This was confirmed by Sean Parker, the founding president of Facebook, when he said last November that the company's goal was to keep users on the platform as long as they could.
Like Southern Rail.
And with every interaction, you get a dopamine hit. Dopamine, of course, is the chemical that's to do with desire, ambition, and sex drive. As a side note, desire, ambition, and sex drive are my all-time top 3 apprentice team names. Tech companies understand what causes dopamine surges in the brain, and they lace their products with hijacking techniques that lure us in and create compulsion loops.
My favorite breakfast cereal.
It's true that when I see a picture of my son smiling, that it will release dopamine.
Is that why I saw you scrolling through pictures of your son on your phone, even though your actual real-life human son was sat right next to you?
He was fine. He had my lighter to play with. I'm horribly addicted to technology, but we feed this addiction in each other. We can't resist tagging our friends in photos or worse, in status updates they've got absolutely nothing to do with.
At Jake Yap, I saw a Harley Davidson yesterday.
Okay, I don't care.
At Jake Yap, I just ate this broccoli in Swindon.
That has nothing to do with me. Worse still, there's dragging people into stupid or potentially dangerous challenges. This is surely Darwinism at work. Oh, I'm Jake Yap, and I'm about to take the jelly bath challenge. I haven't really sorted out getting any money through to charity or anything, but I nominate George Fouracres and Emily Lloyd Saney.
I'm George Fouracres, and I'm about to take the nail in the mains challenge. I nominate Jake and Emily.
Ow. I'm Emily Lloyd Saney, and I'm taking the gravel on toast challenge. I nominate Jake and George. My teeth. Ow. My tooth.
I'm Jake Yap, and I'm about to try the baboon present challenge. Do you dare to present to a baboon for MS? Oh, buy me a drink first, mate.
I'm George Fouracres, and I'm about to take the wasp nose challenge. I nominate Jake and Emily. Oh, it feels hot, you stripey.
I'm Jake Yap, and I'm taking the slamming my genitalia in the fridge door challenge. I nominate Emily and George. Oh, don't forget to pay.
I'm Emily Lloyd Saney, and I'm taking the puddle drink challenge.
I'm George Fouracres. I'm taking the five-day-old hummus challenge. Oh, I've gone blind.
I'm Jake Yap, and I'm taking the Bonio Pants Dog Park challenge.
I'm taking the salt and vinegar contact lens challenge. Ow. Ow.
I'm George. I'm taking the tinfoil chewing gum challenge.
I'm teed off with testicular cancer. Oh, he missed. Oh.
I'm licking a docker for gay rights. Ow.
I'm taking the motorway frogger challenge for Emily Bronte week. I nominate your mum.
To promote cult awareness, I'm taking the Kool-Aid challenge.
And I'm gonna take the Kool-Aid challenge.
And I'm gonna take the Kool-Aid challenge.
We're all gonna take the Kool-Aid challenge. Kool-Aid challenge. The Kool-Aid challenge. The Kool-Aid challenge. We nominate you. On to our final entry. At number one, in our reasons why you should quit social media, data trader haters. Your data and how it gets shared online. Yes, the ghastly way that information about whether or not you like Game of Thrones was used to create workhouses in Nicaragua. And I don't know to what extent I subscribe to this. Much was made of the privacy terms and conditions of Facebook and how Facebook owns copyright to your children's dreams and so on. So recently they brought out new, clearer terms, which I bet we all read with extreme fastidiousness when they came out, didn't we? I tell you what, just in case you didn't, here's the new privacy T&Cs of Facebook condensed.
These are the terms and conditions of Facebook, except there might be other ones that we might make up later that we'll let you know about. And also, if you're reading this in Portuguese or Welsh and it sounds weird, then the English version supersedes it, since you just never can tell with translators. They all work from home.
First off, you own everything you post on Facebook, but we're allowed to use your stuff forever or until you delete your Facebook account. But let's be honest, that's never going to happen.
You will not collect users' content or information using automated means such as harvesting bots, robots, spiders or scrapers without our prior permission. Although, if you know what the heck a harvesting bot is, you probably aren't going to care what we say anyway. What the heck is a harvesting bot?
You will not upload viruses or other malicious code, or yourself in some kind of futuristic Tron-style Ready Player One scenario, although someone somewhere is almost certainly working on that.
You agree not to do bad stuff, illegal stuff, or yucky stuff. Think of the children, by the way. You agree to be at least 13, although if we're talking emotionally, then that's half the user base wiped out at a stroke.
You will not use our copyrights or trademarks or any confusingly similar marks.
We see you, phageboof.cod.
We are not responsible for the conduct, whether online or offline, of any user of Facebook, because there's 2 billion of you, damn it, there is just too many.
Special protections and regulations apply if you're a resident of the European Union, but you people don't care about that stuff anymore anyway. Finally, we would draw your attention to 10 of the policy documents, which you will also never bother reading, but the cover albums and the eventuality of any crazy person dumb enough to try it on with us.
Bring it on, Shorty.
Yeah, you little pinprick.
People were so up in arms about Facebook data, but this is the oldest trick in commerce, isn't it? It's just a posh way of counting up the receipts. In 1680, a fish seller saying that mackerel sells more than bream and telling the fisherman that is just using your shopping data. How dare he use that information about my mackerel purchase for his personal gain?
Yeah, but aren't you being a bit reductive there, Jake?
No.
You definitely are now. Tell everyone about the Crucible Project.
Okay, well, the Crucible Project was set up to launch the Tesco Club Card back in 1994. The Tesco Club Card scheme is, of course, free to join.
Just like Facebook.
And in return, you get a dividend, money off vouchers and cash back on your purchases.
With Facebook, you get free hosting of your photos of your thighs in a hammock on the beach.
Someone, somehow, has to pay for this. With Club Card, they sell data about your purchases to third-party companies to help them target their marketing.
With Facebook, they sell data about your interests to third-party companies to help them target their marketing.
Everybody kind of wins.
In the case of Facebook, Donald Trump wins.
And in the case of Tesco, well, we all remember the Club Card points for vote scandal in the 2015 Yaxley East by-election, don't we?
Oh, yes. That 50p off Cathedral City party won by a landslide.
All of which serves, somewhat laboriously, to make the point that a lot of what we object to that takes place with social media data is the same as what happens with our shopping. There's no such thing as a free bottle of Bamo Cola, and there's no such thing as a free website.
But is that bad, though?
I honestly don't know. For my generation, social media was a way to connect with people we'd lost contact with over the years. It was literally friends reunited. However, we quickly realised that, with the occasional exception, there was a reason we left these people behind. Now they slosh around in our digital space like human flotsam. Finally, while I do feel that the ultimate in virtue signalling is people using the phrase,
"Oh, I'm not on social media."
It is worth remembering that, just like your real life, social media is unimportant and meaningless. Social media and the power it gives us puffs up our feverish little egos, just as it does getting into a car or holding a gun or going on The Apprentice. So it's how we wield that power that defines us. So by all means, let your ego enjoy that moment of notoriety when OMG Shami Chakrabarti liked your tweet or your post about quinoa getting shared. But try to remember, it holds no currency in the real world, where the truth is. And the truth is that we should all just be grateful for our good fortune to be these amazing little bags of sentient meat staggering about on a ball of lava spinning around in the arse end of nowhere. Hashtag truth bomb.
Emily is depressed.
George is feeling hopeless.
Jake is ready for the archers. Thanks very much. Good night. That was Jake Yap's Media Circus, written, composed, and performed by Jake Yap, who would like to be liked and shared, and featured George Fouracres, who's never been poked, and Emily Lloyd-Saney, who's currently blocked but has been eating prunes. Additional materials by Robin Morgan, who nobody can contact because he's only on Snapchat. And the producer was Joe Nunnery, who's been flagged as spam, but that's mainly to do with his complexion. And it was a BBC Studios production who reserved the right to share information about you listening to this with ITV and Channel 4, not that they'll be remotely interested. Sorry for the long post, guys. Okay, so that thing I just did went incredibly well and was way harder than I thought it would be. And even though you never even knew what it was that was going on in the first place, I want to thank you so much for your support, and I really couldn't.